Hello. Welcome back to Legends of Surgery. I'm your host, Tyler Rouse. This episode will be the first of another series, this time on physical exam signs. As I'm sure you can guess, many exam signs are named after physicians, but not this one. Today's sign is named after a nun. So let's take a closer look at the Sister Mary Joseph nodule. For those of you that are students in the health sciences or aren't far removed from your student days, you may have been grilled on this physical exam sign and wondered, why is it called the Sister Mary Joseph nodule? Well, it is named after a nun that worked with one of the famous Mayo brothers as his first assistant in the OR, and she made a rather interesting observation, but we'll get there soon. First, Sister Mary Joseph was actually born Julia Dempsey on May 14, 1856 to Irish immigrant parents in Salamanca, New York. The family moved to Minnesota before the Civil War, and Julia grew up near Rochester with six siblings. In 1878, at the age of 22, she joined the Third Order Regular of St. Francis of the Congregation of Lady of Lords of Rochester. That's a mouthful. Julia Dempsey then took on the name Sister Mary Joseph. Her early career was as a director of a missionary school in Kentucky before she was called back to Rochester. So this is where her life intersected with some other legends of surgery. On August 21, 1883, an F5 tornado hit Rochester, Minnesota, killing 37 people and injuring over 200. At that time, there were only three hospitals in the entire state of Minnesota outside of the Twin Cities, none of which were near Rochester. So to deal with the trauma patients, Dr. William Mayo and his two sons, along with the Sisters of St. Francis, set up an emergency room in a dance hall. Following the disaster, the Mayo family and the sisters decided that a hospital was needed, and so they created St. Mary's Hospital, which was the seed that became the Mayo Clinic. Fascinating intersection, isn't it? I'll get back to the Mayo family as I'm planning yet another series on famous surgical families. So in 1889, Sister Mary Joseph was called back to take up nursing duties at the newly opened St. Mary's Hospital. She had no training, so she received 6 weeks of tutoring from Edith Graham, who had trained at the Women's Hospital School of Nursing in Chicago. Edith would later marry Dr. Charles Mayo. Following this disturbingly brief training period, Sister Mary Joseph was made head nurse. Within 3 years, she would actually become the superintendent of the hospital. But it was her nursing duties that we're interested in. From 1890 to 1915, she was the first surgical assistant to Dr. William Mayo. She was known as being quite technically gifted and trustworthy. In fact, one source that I found says that she would often make the first incision and would close at the end of the case. She would even carry on with the operation on her own when William Mayo was answering questions from visiting physicians in the gallery. So one of her roles in the OR was to prep patients, meaning to clean the surgical site with an antiseptic solution. It was during this procedure where Sister Mary Joseph made the observation that patients with a firm or ulcerated nodule in their umbilicus prior to laparotomy, meaning opening the belly, would often have widespread intra-abdominal metastatic cancer. Bringing this to the attention of Dr. William Mayo, he published an article in the Proceedings of the Staff Meetings of the Mayo Clinic in 1828. Now, I couldn't get my hands on the original document, and the history of that particular publication is interesting in itself, and maybe I'll cover it when I talk about the Mayo brothers, but it's quoted in another paper, and here's the relevant passage. Quote, "It sometimes happens that patients come for examination of advanced and incurable malignant disease. Before such patient is submitted to x-ray examination and other tests, one should try to find out, to protect the patient's time, strength, and pocketbook, whether there is visible or palpable evidence of metastatic extension, which would at once make the diagnosis and prognosis clear. Often this can be done speedily and with very little discomfort to the patient. The pants button umbilicus does not seem to be so well known. In many doubtful cases, examination and palpation of the umbilicus will reveal that it is hard and infiltrated, perhaps not prominently. If in doubt, one can remove a small bit under local anesthesia for microscopic diagnosis." End quote. Now, you may have noticed there that he called it the pants button umbilicus, although he always did give credit to Sister Mary Joseph for the discovery. In fact, it did not become known as a Sister Mary Joseph nodule until 1949, when the English surgeon Sir Hamilton Bailey suggested that it be called this in her honor in the 11th edition of his textbook, Physical Signs in Clinical Surgery. Now, unfortunately, this was 10 years after her death in 1939. In an odd twist of history, Sister Mary Joseph and both Mayo brothers, Drs. Charles and William Mayo, died within 4 months of each other. So Sister Mary Joseph first noted this in patients with abdominal malignancies, and it's now known that about half are from GI tumors, such as gastric, colon, and pancreas, and a quarter from gynecological tumors, typically ovarian, but also uterine. There are reports from many other sites, including gallbladder, liver, kidneys, appendix, fallopian tube, cervix, bladder, penis, prostate, and even lungs and breast. Other malignancies, including sarcomas, lymphomas, and melanomas, have also been reported. And in fact, of historical interest, a physician named Horatio Storer described a case of ovarian cancer metastatic to the umbilicus in 1864 in a journal then known as the Boston Medical and Surgical Journal, which you may know better as the New England Journal of Medicine. So what is the significance of this finding? Well, interestingly, in up to 30% of patients with a Sister Mary Joseph nodule, it is the first and only sign of malignancy. Unfortunately, less than 15% of patients with this nodule are alive after 2 years. The pathophysiology is interesting, with a wide assortment of theories on how it happens, from contiguous spread of tumor in the abdomen, to hematogenous, meaning blood or lymphatic spread, to extension along ligaments of embryonic origin. And I find that any time that there's that many theories about something, it's because no one really knows what's the right answer. Well, maybe it's one, and maybe it's all of the above. So that's the story of the Sister Mary Joseph nodule, or as some may argue, the Sister Joseph nodule. Now, Sister Mary Joseph herself had a distinguished career as a hospital administrator, expanding the original hospital from 45 to 600 beds, and opening the St. Mary's Hospital School for Nurses in 1906. Always humble, she refused any honors or awards, even turning down an honorary degree of Doctor of Science from Creighton University. However, the original surgical building at St. Mary's Hospital in the Mayo Clinic has been named the Joseph Hospital in her memory. Well, that one was a bit short but sweet, and that wraps up another episode of Legends of Surgery, and I hope you enjoyed it. So next Friday is April Fool's Day, so in honor of that, the next podcast will be on imposters. That's all I'll say for now, but tune in because it'll be interesting to say the least. So please rate the podcast on iTunes, leave a comment there, follow me on Twitter at Surgery Legends, like us on Facebook at Legends of Surgery, or send an email at legendsofsurgery@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you about your thoughts on the podcast or ideas for future episodes. And as always, thanks for listening.